Good morning. I believe the last time I said this year was 10 years ago. And since then, I've been working on it for years, and I decided, the time has now come to really present it, and I hope will be an improved fashion. I've always been fascinated with Avraham Avinu. I started listening to, I have about 10 or 11 different shiurim on Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is obviously the pillar not only of Yahadut, but Avraham Avinu is the great genius, the brilliant mind who discovered God. He discovered God. The Rambam in the Mishneh Torah in Hilchot Avodah Zarah describes the historic evolution of idolatry on the face of this earth. It's a magnificent chapter, the first chapter in the laws of Avodah Zarah. And he describes how, with the passage of time, people began to forget God. It really began with an attempt on the part of some to, in a sense, be very religious. That if we honor and glorify God, certainly if we will as well honor those who serve Him, who are His great servants, the heavenly bodies, the sun, the stars, the moon. So they began to serve them, but with the clear knowledge that they are the servants of God, and we are, you know, being nice to, in a sense, you're showing respect for God by showing respect for all those great, great forces that He created in the world. But with the passage of time, people forget. And then generations were born that thought that the sun and the stars, that's the deity. Until it reached the point that God was forgotten from the face of this earth. There were only a few individuals who still remembered. A few individuals. Shem, Aver, Peleg. The rest of the world had forgotten the existence of God. Ad. The Rambam says, Ad shenolad eitan zeh. Until the mighty one, the mighty one was born. Who is the mighty one? So the Rambam gives such a powerful, powerful description of Avraham Avinu. And he says the following. I'll just give you a few excerpts. Ad ha'olam holeich mitgalgel. The world kept going, sinking deeper and further into idolatry and the loss of God on the face of this earth. Ad shenolad amudo shel olam, until the pillar of the world was born. V'hu Avraham Avinu, that's Avraham Avinu. There's no question about it. All the major religions, the whole world, owes a debt for all time to Avraham Avinu. The Rambam says, Kivan shenigmal eitan zeh, when this mighty one was weaned, Hitchil shoteit b'dato, began to think, he began to question. V'hu katan, he was a little boy, and he begins to have doubts. He sees the whole universe. Who runs it? Who makes it move? How does it all happen? Where did it come from? The kind of questions that nobody was asking. Here is this little boy who begins to ask all of these questions. The Hitchil Rama says he began to think by Yom Balayla, day and night, for Hayotameya, and he wondered, how is it possible for this whole universe to move? Isn't there somebody moving it? Who causes it to go round and round? Can't happen by itself. V'lo Hayalo Malamed, he didn't have anybody to teach him. V'lo Modia Dover, he didn't have anybody who told him anything. Elo Mushka, he was sunk into the muck and the mire of Ur Kasdim that was all idolatry. He lived amongst those idolaters. Ve'avav ve'imo, and his father and his mother and all of the people, they all worship idols. Ve'hu oved imahem, and he served idols together with his father and his mother, all the members of his family, and the entire civilization into which he was born. Ve'libo mishotetum omezin, his heart is troubled, he's thinking, ad shehisig derech ha'emet, until he achieved the knowledge of the true way, v'hevin kaf ha'tzedek, he understood what the just explanation of what's happening in this world, mitvunato ha'nechona, from his own great intellect. This was a mind like none other. I have often quoted Paul Johnson in his History of the Jews, his opening chapter, the prologue and then the epilogue. He writes a 500, 600 page book on the history of the Jews in order to point out one thing. The world is a completely different place because of the existence of one man called Abraham. He says it's highly unlikely that anybody would have been able to achieve that which Abraham achieved. And he's not Jewish. I think he's a priest. And he makes it very clear that the whole world, owes a debt for all time, an eternal debt to Avraham Avinu. He arrived at a conclusion and he knew that there is a God, there's one God, and he is the one who makes the whole world move, and he created everything. There is no other power in the world aside from him. And he knew another thing, that the whole world is making a mistake. The whole world is making a mistake, by the way. To arrive at such a conclusion, it requires awesome, awesome intellectual prowess. And I'm sure that it took many, many years until Avraham Avinu was ready to arrive at the conclusion that he's the only sane one in a whole world that's gone mad. And he also figured out exactly where the mistake had started hundreds of years earlier. He knew exactly why they were serving the stars and the moon and the sun. He knew everything. And then he took another giant step further. Not only had he achieved the knowledge of God, not only did he now know where the mistake began, but he made a giant leap forward of such great courage. He's going to share his knowledge with the rest of the world. And he began to talk to people and to debate. This must have been a new, painful period in his life. The period from childhood until he achieves the knowledge of God was one that was fraught with a great deal of mental anguish, torment, suffering. He doesn't understand and he wants to understand. But when he takes the giant, courageous step forward that he's going to share this knowledge with the world, he knows in advance, we're talking about a brilliant man, he knows in advance that he is going to leave himself open to attack, to scorn, to ridicule. It's not going to be easy. He's going to be fighting the powers that be. He's fighting the whole world. In fact, most probably that's exactly what the Medrash says when in this passage he's referred to as Avram Ha'ivri, Avram from the other side of the river. So the Medrash says, Kol Ha'olam, the whole world was on one side and he's on the other. When he decides that he's going to share this great discovery of his, he knows that he's walking out of civilization and he's standing there on the other side and he's confronting them. And of course the Rambam describes how he breaks the idols of society. We've talked a number of times about the Medrash that all little children learn about his parents owned an idol store, and one day they had to go out and they left him idol sitting. And he didn't sit idly while he was idle sitting. He chopped up all the idols and left the biggest one and put the axe in the hand of the biggest idol. Parents come home. The Tata takes a look at the whole business, the Angreisa business. All the idols are smashed. What happened over here? He must have said to himself, I imagine, God in Himmel, what happened to all of my Getschkolach? So Avram tells him, take a look, don't you see? There's the big one with the axe in his hand. He did it. So they say to him, what are you talking about? He's just made out of wood. He can't do that. And then his great response is supposed to be, Shma no oznecho, let your ears hear what you've just said. He can't do anything. Obviously, the Rambam clearly does not believe the story literally, and you can't believe the story literally. Not a literal story. I mean, first of all, is Avraham Avinu any less than George Washington? George Washington was able to say, I cannot tell a lie. I chopped down the cherry tree. So if Avraham Avinu is going to chop up all of the idols, he's not going to have the courage and the strength to stand up and say, Pa, Ma, I cannot tell a lie. I destroyed them all. And the second thing is, Avraham Avinu knows that's not the way you can convince anybody of anything. He wouldn't have touched a hair on those idols. What the Rambam understands from this Medrash, that's clearly what the Medrash is telling us. He intellectually shatters the idols of the world. And the Medrash couches this great idea in this kind of a cute story. But the story is that Avraham stood up in the fullness of his great genius, powerful intellect, absolutely convinced he knows the truth, and he knows that the world is making a mistake. And he, that's exactly what he does. And he begins to go through the world telling people the truth. This is the beginning of one of the great journeys of history that continues until this very day. And the Rambam goes on to describe how he passes this on to his Yitzchak, and Yitzchak passes it on to Yaakov. It's a beautiful, beautiful Rambam. I have one question. And the one question begins with the Mishnah. Number one, Asora nisyonot nitnaseh Avraham Avinu alav ha-shalom v'amad bekulam. Avraham Avinu underwent 10 tests and he emerged from all of them. Lahodia, in order to tell you kama chibato shel Avraham Avinu alav ha-shalom, to show you either how much God loves Avraham or how much Avraham loves God. He undergoes 10 tests. The first test is the beginning of the Seder. Lech lecha, mei artzecha, memoladetcha, umibet avicha, el haaretz asher arecha. God tells him, pick yourself up and go. And it ends with the tenth one, also has the words, lech lecha. At the end of next week's Seder, Parsha Vayera, God says, kachna es vincha, yichizko, take your one and only son Yitzchak. The lech lecha el eretz hamoria, and go to the land of the Moria, and there bring him as a sacrifice. On the side we have the explanation of the Mishnah, where the perush, the kahati perush, brings the ten tests that he undergoes. Lech lecha me'artzecha, he comes to Eretz Yisrael by hira v'aretz. There was a famine in the land. Then he's tested that Sarah is taken from him forcibly to the house of Taro. He doesn't complain. The great war that he wages against the four kings, taking Hagar as a wife after he has, for all intents and purposes, given up hope of having a child with Sarah. Bris Mila, in his old age, he is told to undergo Bris Mila. Sarah later is going to be taken to the house of Avimelech, another Tzara. He goes through Tzaras. and he does not question God. Casting Hagar out of the house, having to send Yishmael away, and ultimately Akedat Yitzchak. I have one question. The one question that we're going to deal with is, here is a man who after great pain, mental anguish, 40 years, 50 years, has arrived at a conclusion intellectually that there is a God who created everything and the whole world is wrong. And not only that, he's ready to go out and he begins bringing the message to the whole world. Or is he going to suffer for that? The Gaon later describes how because of his views, his life was endangered. We know that Nimrod had him thrown into the furnace. Governments don't like people who stand up against them. They didn't want anybody to shake up the calm of the world. And he's a rouser of men's ideas and men's intentions. He's shaking up the very foundations of society. Man is ready to give his life for his ideas. Why does God test him? What do you have? Who's there to test? What are you testing him? This man is awesome. He's mighty. He is powerful. Why do you test him? And not one test. 10 tests. Yitzchak is not going to be tested. The test of Akedat Yitzchak is counted on Avram's cheshbon of tests. Yaakov is not going to be tested. In other words, everybody in a sense undergoes tests in life. But here we're talking about 10 tests intentionally that God makes Avraham Avinu go through. That's what the Mishnah says. Why is he tested? The man's awesome. He's Amudo Shalom. He's the pillar of the whole world. There are two ways to achieve the knowledge of God. And that's what we're going to investigate now. One way to achieve the knowledge of God is, I was born into a Fruma family, they sent me to Cheder or to a day school, I was 3 years old and they taught me Torah, Tzivo, Lonu, Moshe, Morosha, Kehilas, Yaakov, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, every little child, before they go to sleep, they say Shema. That's faith. I got it from my tata. My tata got it from his Zayda, going all the way back to Avraham Avinu. Faith. Pure, simple, and when I say the word simple, I don't mean simple in terms of its idea or the responsibility that it thrusts upon us. But it's clear. I have faith, I believe. I'm imamin b'emuna shleima. I believe with perfect faith. What's the first of the animamins? That there is a God. There is a God. I believe that that God is one. I believe there are no other gods. I believe that that God is eternal. I believe that he's not physical in any way. He, to him alone do I pray. I believe. There's another way to achieve the knowledge of God. The other way is through reason. The first is faith, and the second is reason. I study, I meditate, I ponder, I question, I doubt. I can achieve the knowledge of God philosophically. All the proofs of the existence of God, the ontological, the cosmological, all of this. There are proofs of the existence of God. I can arrive at the knowledge of God by taking a careful, close look at history. And I may be able to discern the hand of God in history. I may very well follow the advice of Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu says, "Su'u marom einechem, uru'u mi bora ele." Lift your eyes on high and take a look. Who created all of this? I might say that pasuk in Tillim, "Hashamayim misaprim kvod el." The very heavens are that which bespeak the existence of God. Hashemayim misafin kol keil, umase yada magid harakia. That He made it. Just look at this world. Look at this universe. Look at the human body. What a complex organism had to be created, had to be created, had to be brought into being. So here you have the two possibilities. One is faith, and the other is reason. Which is better? Which is better? One can say that they both have advantages and disadvantages. The advantage of faith is, first of all, it has endured. It has durability. 4,000 years since Avraham Avinu, and the Yiddish Kinderlach who learned Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Why has this been tried, tested, and proven in the crucible of Jewish history? How many Jews in history gave their lives because they believe in a one God? That's faith. And then there are moments of crisis in our own personal lives or in the life of Klal Yisrael, that someplace from down of the depths of the neshama comes a wellspring of faith that gives us strength. It's a powerful vehicle, strength, faith. Powerful. On the other hand, one can say, well, faith, you know, we take it for granted. Yeah, I said, at a moment of crisis, it's going to come from deep in the neshama. But we take it for granted. You don't get up in the morning and say, oh, well, maybe you do. Maybe you do. Moda nil fanecho melech chay v'kayom. But you don't walk around all day with a sense of excitement. I have faith. An imam, I have faith. In a sense, it's certainly, maybe one, I don't want to use that word, but right, I don't have a better one right now. It's archaic, it's old. You know, it doesn't excite. It doesn't excite. Reason, on the other hand, what excitement, what exhilaration. To have learned of the existence of God, to have studied it, to have arrived at intellectual conclusions, to have studied history, to have studied nature, and you see the relation, it's so exciting, it's so overwhelming, it's so exhilarating. It's possible to get up in the morning and say, oh, I discovered God. But there's a disadvantage to reason that faith doesn't suffer from. Faith, emunah, does not begin with a question. It doesn't begin with a question, does he exist, doesn't he exist? And then finally, I decide, I believe. It doesn't begin with a question. The decisions of reason are always preceded by, well, does he exist? I have finally arrived at an intellectual decision that he does indeed he does indeed exist. But you always have to know that the decisions that man arrives at intellectually are always tentative. It means that with all of the information that is presently available to me, I have arrived at a decision that God exists. There's always the possibility that tomorrow, a year from now, 10 years from now, another bit of information is going to become available to me, and all of a sudden it's going to shake the foundations of my decision of reason that God exists, and I have to open the whole thing all over again. Reopen the question. So that the decisions of reason are tentative. I can only say that as far as I know right now, he does exist. Faith is enduring. Faith is enduring. There are no questions to begin with. There are no questions afterwards. There's one other major disadvantage of reason that faith doesn't suffer from. I saw this so many years ago in a sefer by Rav Elimelech Bar Shaul, the Rav of Rehovot, Olav HaShalom, died a young man. He wrote a number of svarim, and this is not in the it's in a footnote in the sefer. In a footnote. That footnote, oh,
beautiful footnote. He says the following. I don't remember what the text was about, but I remember that footnote. In the footnote he writes, imagine the following scene. The scientist who created the atom bomb is standing in a room looking at the bomb. Or does he know what power and what intensity this bomb has? He can be overwhelmed by its might, by its fierceness, its ferociousness. He understands better than anybody else how awesome it is. But there's one thing. In a manner of speaking, he will never be able to get down on his knees and feel subdued before that bomb. Because right here in his mind, you know what's going on in his mind? Bomb Allah, I created you. You didn't create me. Do you know what you are, bomb? You are the result of my awesome genius. Which means that when we pit faith in God and reason, the one who has faith is able to worship, is able to daven, is able to humble himself, the whole personality, before that, for that God. The one who achieves a knowledge of God intellectually, there's just something there in that intellectual achievement that, you know, I'm pretty good. I was able to find you, God. You tried to elude me, but I found you. There's something there that does not permit man to fully fall before that God and humble oneself completely before him. What does Torah have to say about this battle, this struggle between faith and reason? Well, Torah has a great deal to say. First of all, number two, the very opening first halacha in the Rambam, in his Yad HaChazaka, the first halacha. And you see how he writes it, that the first four letters are Yud Kei Vav Kei, the name of God, Yesod HaYesodot VaAmud HaChochmot, the foundation of all foundations and the pillar of all wisdom. Leida, to know, SheYeshom Motzu Yerishon, there is an original existing deity, and he brought into being everything that exists, and whatever exists from heaven to earth and in between them, they exist only because of the truth of his existence. He brought everything into being. One word that I want to stress over here, the Rambam says, Yesod HaYesodot V'Amud HaChochmot Leida. Leida, to know. The significance of that will come in number three. There, the Rambam's introduction to his great work, the Yad HaChazaka, is the Sefer HaMitzvot, the Book of Commandments, in which he lists all the positive and negative commandments. Take a look at positive commandment number one. It's right there. HaMitzvah HaRishona, the first mitzvah, who atzivui, the command, asher tzivonu, that we were commanded, v'ha'amanat ha'elokut, to have faith that there's a God. V'hu, and that is, shenamin, that we should have faith, she'esham ilah v'siva, there is a cause, a first cause, who po'el l'chol ha'nimtzayim, and he is the one that has brought everything into being, and that's what it means when it says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am God, your God. The Rambam goes on to say that this is one of the 613 mitzvahs. How does he know that it's one of the 613? Because the Gemara at the end of Makkah says, on the Pasuk, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, Morasha Kehilat Yaakov, which, as I pointed out earlier, the Gemara says when a child can speak, you're supposed to teach him that Pasuk, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, Morasha Kehilat Yaakov. So the Gemara says, Torah, that numerically equals 611 Tzivolonu Moshe. Moshe commanded us. The other two, which are, I am God, your God, and there shall be no other God before me, we heard them from God himself. If the first two, Moshe is the one who transmits it. So 611 plus 2 equals 613. The Rambam here doesn't use the word leida to know. The Rambam here uses the word lahamin, ani mamin. Those are two completely different words. Now, don't tell me that the Rambam didn't remember the introduction to the Yad HaChazaka when he started writing the Yad HaChazaka. He knows precisely what he wrote where. He writes leida and he writes lahamin, because those are the two sides of the coin of the existence of God. What the Rambam is telling us, that the mitzvah is not only that we should believe, as he says in his introduction, to believe, faith. My Tata told me, and he got it from the Zayda and from the Elder Zayda, going all the way back to the Saba Rabba Avraham Avinu. Not enough, but we in our own experience have to attempt to achieve a knowledge of God in our own lives. Look at what's happening in the world. Take a look at nature. Lift up your head, your eyes on high, and see. What Torah demands of us, the Rambam is saying, is both faith and reason, emunah and yediyah. And that's why at the beginning of Shemone Esrei we say, Elokeinu ve'elokei avoteinu, our God and the God of our fathers. Our God and the God of our fathers. Because despite the fact that I know God by virtue of the fact that He's the God of our fathers, not enough. I still have a responsibility to seek Him out in my own life's experience. Need them both. You need them both. At which point, of course, do we see how the Jewish people indeed make use of that great wellspring of a faith? Just go over to number 6. At the Yam Suf, Zekeli Van Vehu, this is my God, and I will beautify him, Elokei Avi Vado Memenu, the God of my father, and I will raise and lift and exalt him. Rashi earlier says that Ros Oshifcha Alayam, a maidservant at the sea, saw what the prophets didn't see. They saw God. What the problem with this pasuk is? If I see him and I'm able to point, the word Zen means I can point. There he is. I see my God. I see him. I see him. I experience him. There he is. Why is it necessary to say afterwards, Elokei Avi, the God of my father, and I exalt him? So there's the great Rashi. Elokei Avi, who's there? This one is the God of my father, and therefore, Adon Memenu, I will extol him. Elokei Avi, great Rashi. Lo ani tchilat hakedusha, I'm not the beginning and the source of this sanctity. Elo muchzeket v'omedet li hakedusha, rather the sanctity stands established upon me. Ve'elikuto olai, and his godliness is over me. Mi yimei avotai, from the days of my fathers. I'll explain it. I'll explain it with a story I once told you. I have to make it quick now. It was one of those days that I got very upset with all the stuff on my desk, and I decided that I'm going to clean up my desk. Remember the story of me trying to clean up my desk? I think it was 10 years ago. It was about 10 years ago, 12 years ago. Anyway, one of the first things that I found on my desk was a calendar. The calendar was from 1986. Obviously, I didn't need a calendar from 1986. So with great fanfare, I pick it up, and I throw it into the garbage can, and it gets there. But I'm an American. I'm a hoarder. Our basements were never cleaned. I want to take one more look. I pick it up out of the garbage can. There's nobody around. I pick it up, and I open it up, and I see something that blows my mind. It was one of these calendars that had little aphorisms, nice vertalach down at the bottom. And here is a word from Marshall McLuhan. I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't believed it. I'll say it again. I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't believed it. I saw this. It happened to be an early morning. And I'm going, what a great word. We can't necessarily trust our eyes. 10 people can see the same thing and they walk away with a different idea of what happened. This is such a gewaltig word. I was so excited. And then I was troubled. I was troubled. Klal Yisrael didn't have a Marshall McLuhan. Was Titzardu. I went to shul. It was the month of Elul. The Rebbein Shem, you know, at Sita Yisrael Neshuma. A whole davening. I'm worried about it. I come to Ledavid. The David Hashem Ori that we say in Elul. The next to last pasuk, Lule Ha'emanti Lirot B'Tuv Hashem Beretz Chaim. I stopped that pasuk. If I wouldn't have believed it, I wouldn't have seen God in the land of the living. I wouldn't see God in Eretz Yisrael if I wouldn't have believed it. I said, oh. My faith in Klal Yisrael is renewed. We had a Marshall McLuhan over there by David HaMelech when he said that. And then I lifted mine eyes. I daven right by the parochas. The parochas in my shul, very beautiful artistic parochas, emblazoned on the parochas is Zekeli V'Anvehu Elokei Ovi V'Aromenenu. Ah. That's exactly what the pasuk is saying. Zekeli Zanveu, this is my God, means my experience. But I wouldn't have seen God at the Yam Suf if not for the fact that Elokei Ovi V'Aro Emenu, He was the God of my fathers. Lo ani tchilat hakedusha, Rashi says, it doesn't begin with me. You know why I was able to see? Because I believe. Classic. I've mentioned on a number of occasions that I should have had the parochas also say the Rashi down at the bottom. Lo ani tchilat hakedusha. Lo ani tchilat hakedusha. You need both. You need faith and you need reason. Reason alone is not enough. Two Rambams. Number four, the Rambam says, "Kol haMekabel Sheva Mitzvos V'Nizal La'Asotan." Anybody who accepts upon himself the seven Noahide commandments, a guy who accepts the seven Noahide commandments, Hadeza Michasidei Umot HaOlam, is considered one of the pious of the nations of the world. V'Yesh Lo Chelik LaOlam Abo, and he has a share in the world to come. V'Hu, listen to how the Rambam qualifies this. When does the non-Jew who accepts upon himself the seven Noahide mitzvahs have a place in the world to come? V'hu, sheyekabel otan v'yaseh otan, that he accepts it and he does it, mipnei shetzivo behen HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Torah. V'hodiyonu al-yedei Moshe Rabbeinu, shebnei Noach mikodem yistavu behen, because he believes that this is exactly what God was telling the children of Noach in Torah. Avolim, listen to this last sentence. Avolim also mipnei hechra hadat, if he keeps the seven Noahide commandments because he intellectually decided to do it. Ein ze ger toshav ve eino mechsidei umos haolam velo michachmeyem. He's not considered neither a wise man nor mechsidei umos on the deal with what I'm saying. If he arrives at this conclusion to keep the seven Noahide mitzvahs because intellectually he's made such a decision, it's nothing but nothing. It means nothing. The only time that intellectual decision is meaningful is if it is coupled with faith. I believe that that's what God said in Torah. I'll take it one step further. The next Rambam. Kesar mekablin gediyah tzedek. How does Bezdin accept into the ranks of Klal Yisrael true gerim? Kishiyavo echad lidgayim and agayim. When a person comes to convert, the yivduku achrav, and there's an investigation. Velo yimtzu ila, and they don't find any motive aside from the fact that he wants to be Jewish. He has no hidden agenda. Omnin lo. They say to him, Bezdin says the following, Mara Isa Shabbata Lihidgaye, well, why did you see fit to come and convert? What happened to you? Yato Yodea, don't you know? She Yisrael Bezman Azed, that Israel at this time in history, Adavuyim, Udechufim, Umisurafin, Umitorafin, Viyasurin Buenaland? There's no necessity to translate each one of these words. Don't you know that Jews are persecuted and Jews are hated and Jews are denigrated and suffering comes upon them? What got into you that you want to be part of the Jewish people? Im Omar, if his response is a niyodea, I know, za'eni kedai, and I'm unworthy to be part of that people, Mekablin otomiyad, to immediately accept him in. If he would have answered, well, rabbis, I've arrived at an intellectual decision that there's a God and the Torah is right, I won't accept it. There has to be an element of faith. You know what the Ger's problem is? He can only say Elokeinu. He cannot say Elokei Avoteinu. He can say Zekeli Zanveyu. He cannot say Elokei Ovi, the God of my father. He has reason. He doesn't have faith. When he reaches the point that he realizes that reason alone is not enough, you need something that begins to approach faith. Yes, I know that they suffer. I know that it's going to be shver tzayin ayid, and I'm unworthy. Oh, then we're ready to accept him. Do you know why Avraham Avinu has to undergo 10 tests? This awesome genius that was described by the Rambam as Amudo Shel Olam, the pillar of the world, this mighty one, this powerful one, this one that impacts upon a whole world 4,000 years later. Avraham Avinu has only one fault. There's one thing lacking. His knowledge of God is based on one pillar alone. Reason. Do you know what the Revenge wants? He wants to turn Avraham Avinu from a man of reason into a man of faith. He wants to turn him into the lonely man of faith. How do you do that? How do you do that? You know how you do that? The 10 tests that he undergoes are all illogical, irrational. They fly in the face of any intelligent person. The Revelation tells him, Lech Lecha. Leave your land, your birthplace, your father's house, and go to the land that I'll show you. What does God mean? Does God mean that there's one little tiny speck of land on the face of this earth where God exists more than any other place? Oh, this has to fly in the face of all intellect. I found you in Ur Kasdim. You know who I found? The one who created it all and moves it all. You're all over the world. You want me to accept the idea that there's one little spot on the face of this earth where you are more than you are any other place? As a nation, look what's going on over here. I got a movement. I have thousands of people following me. We're growing from day to day. I discovered you in that idle, ridden, riddled place called Ur Kasdim. Any intelligent person would say, this doesn't make any sense. Maybe think it over again. I mean, you really want? Lech Lecha. Avraham goes. You know what happens when he listens? He's in the process of making a giant step forward. Oh, what a giant step forward he's making. At this point already, he is beginning to demonstrate the fact that though he's the brilliant genius, though he is the towering intellectual, but he doesn't worship his intellect, he has made an awesome step forward. He has not only achieved the knowledge of God, but he has also achieved the knowledge that that God created man for a reason, and that God has demands, God has requirements. There are things that God wants in this world that he created, and that ultimately the purpose of man is to be obedient and to listen to God. It's difficult, but he understands that, and he listens, and he goes to the land. He comes to this great land. He leaves everything behind. The whole great movement, his Mibereshit movement in Ur Kasdim, it's all over. It's all gone. There are some who come with him. Ultimately, we're not going to hear anything about all of those people that he brought with him. It's all going to go to Yitzchak, and from Yitzchak to Yaakov, and then to us. And he comes to the land. There's a famine in the land. There's a famine in the land. Not only there's a famine in the land. The rest of the world doesn't have famine, but here. Shouldn't this give Avraham Avinu food for... No food to think about, that this is what the Rebbeinu wanted. I should come here. I gave everything up. And said, I gave everything up. And I came on Aliyah. And I come over here to Eretz Yisrael. It's not the bureaucracy. There's nothing to eat over here. So shouldn't this give him reason to think that maybe God was wrong? Not the thought doesn't pass his mind. Doesn't he comes there to smile? He's going to become. Spreading the word of God, he becomes much more than that. He has to go out to war. I mean, I can take you through all the Asar and Nisyonos. The biggest proof of all is the last Lech Lecha. Take your one and only son Yitzchak and bring him as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah. Is there anything more illogical and more irrational and mad than that? Avraham Avinu is going to have to undo what has become his personality and his hallmark in the whole world. He has become the pillar of kindness and goodness. He is chesed. He's going to take his one and only son and bring him as a sacrifice, like it's all over. With his own hands, he's going to commit a terrible act like that. This doesn't shake the rational mind, and he's ready to do it. Atah yadati, God says, now I know that you are really God fearing. You don't worship your great mind. Your reason has now become faith. Avraham Avinu was unable to say Elokeinu the Elokei Avoteinu, because he didn't learn about God from Terach. The ger who comes to convert cannot say Elokeinu Elokei Avoteinu. We have to tell him, do you know that Jews throughout the world suffer? And he has to say, I'm unworthy. If what happens if this ger would say, listen, Besnan, I've arrived at an intellectual conclusion that Torah and God, and it's all true. I don't happen to like Jews that much. You know what I want to do? I'm going to live someplace in the world. I don't know why
Always Kansas City comes to my come to mind. I'll have Chol of Yisrael and Glad Kosher meat flown in from New York. I'll keep it from the right places in New York, and separate the milk and the meat separate. I'm going to fulfill all the mitzvahs, but I don't want to be part of Klal Yisrael. Of course, he's going to be rejected. And why is he going to be rejected? Because he has to be able to arrive at the point at which he can say Elokeinu v'lekei avoteinu, but he can't now. The only way it can happen is if he becomes one with the whole history of Klal Yisrael. He's going to share their common destiny, and he's going to suffer with them, and he's ready to suffer with them. Then all of a sudden he becomes subsumed in this great family called Klal Yisrael, and he can say Elokeinu v'lekei avoteinu. Avraham Avinu, the great intellectual giant, is now the one whom the Rebbeinu Shem says must become the great lonely man of faith. And that's only going to happen when he is able to undergo these 10 tests, and all would be rejected by the intellectual mind completely in its entirety. Torah tziva lanu Moshe morosho kihilat Yaakov. There may be two parts to this pasuk. Torah tziva lanu Moshe talks about the 611 mitzvahs, and then morosho kihilat Yaakov speaks about the two mitzvahs of Anochi, I am God your God, and there shall be no other God before you. That's called an inheritance. You know what I have a feeling the pasuk is saying? The pillars of faith, I am God your God, there shall be no other God before you. You know where we get it? We get it from Yaakov, because by Yaakov it was already an inheritance. He got it from Yitzchak, and Yitzchak got it from Avram. That means there are two parts to Torah. From Sefer Shemot until the end, it's Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. But Sefer Bereshit is the pillar of faith. Sefer Bereshit is the pillar of Morosho Kihilat Yaakov, and we're going to learn where it all begins and how it goes from Avram to Yitzhak and to Yaakov, and from Yaakov to all of his children until the end. As Yaakov is on his deathbed, his children are going to say to him, Shema Yisrael, He Tati Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and he's going to respond, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso L'Olam Ved. That's the story of all of Sefer Bereshit. There's a famous story, everybody knows the story. Here is this convert, or prospective convert, who comes to Shammai and he says, Shammai, I'd like you to teach, or Reb Shammai, please teach me Torah as I stand on one leg. The Gemara says, Dechofo, he pushed him, Be'amat habinyan asher biyado, with the plane. Now it seems that he was a kablan, and there is what's that implement that they call a level, that which measures to make sure that a building is standing straight. I'm not so sure how often they use it here, since the times of Shammai. I'm not sure, but Shammai certainly used a level. So the Gemara says, the Gemara Shabbos, he pushed him, this convert, of course, who's standing on one leg, he pushed him with the level that's in his hand. Undaunted, he comes to Hillel, and he tells Hillel, please, teach me Torah as I stand on one leg. And Hillel, for all time, Hillel is remembered as being the warm, the kind, the understanding one. He says, Madalach Sani, what's hateful to you, Lechavrach lo tavid, don't do it to your friend. Idach Teirusha, the rest of Torah is commentary. Zil Gemor, go study. End of the Gemara. Alright. The Gemara is first starting now. I can tell you very clearly, somebody's going to walk into my house Erev Pesach and tell me, teach me how to kasher in my oven as I stand on one leg. And here is this person standing on one leg. I will obviously call HaChovesh Harnof immediately and take it away. What does the Gemara mean? Is the Gemara making a joke? What does the Gemara mean? What's even worse, the thought that Shammai acts with violence, we're all against violence. We're against violence. And he pushes him. He pushes him. And it's terribly important for us to know what he pushed him with, whether it was a level or it was a ruler or it was a baseball bat. Gemara doesn't just tell you such stories. And then, of course, the great statement of Hillel. We'll come to that in a moment, and we're going to analyze that statement and see how great a statement it is. Say the pshat in the Gemara is the following. The structure, the edifice that is called Yadut stands on two legs. Faith and reason. Emunah and Yediyah. This ger comes and says, convert me as I stand on one leg. What's the one leg that he has? The one leg that he has, the one pillar, is the pillar of reason. Do you know what Shammai wants to tell him? And the Gemara, it never happened. He didn't push anybody. You know what? You know what Shammai is really telling him? I'm in the construction business. And I know you don't have a leg to stand on. That great edifice that is Torah doesn't stand on one leg. Doesn't stand on the leg of intellect and reason alone. Someday your intellect and your reason may betray you. Gone. You can't. And he doesn't touch him. He doesn't touch him. He doesn't push him. There's no violence whatsoever. Shammai is sweet and good, but he's explaining to this convert to be, you can't stand on one leg alone. You cannot be accepted into the Jewish people when you stand only on the leg of intellect. What were the two Rambams that we learned? Even the non-Jew who's going to keep the seven Noahide mitzvahs because of Hechre Hadat, because he decided that it's good, is not a Chosid Umos Olam. He's not Mechachomeim, he's not Mitzadikeim, it's nothing. The only time it means anything is when he keeps the seven Noahide mitzvahs because he believes that that's what God told Moshe in Torah. And the other Rambam, the convert who comes and is told, do you know that Jews suffer in this world? And what happens if he says, yes, I know they suffer, but I don't have anything to do. I mean, I'm going to keep my own friends, my own society. No, he cannot become part of Klal Yisrael. Because Klal Yisrael stands on two pillars, not one. When he comes to Hillel, you have to stop for a moment to think. When I hear people quote this Gemara and quote this Gemara, just imagine for a minute, somebody's going to come over to you and tell you, listen, what's hateful to you, don't do to anybody else. I know how I would react. The nerve! The nerve! You think I would do something that's hateful to me to somebody else? How could you have me suspect me of something of that sort? How can you even say anything like that out of your mouth? He doesn't say, as everybody thinks he says, that he told him, love your friend like yourself. That's not what the Gemara says. That's not what Hillel said. Hillel said, what's hateful to you, what is hateful to you, don't do to your friend. I'd be insulted. I'm to the core of my being. To the core of my being. You know what the difference between Shammai and Hillel is? And here is where it really belongs. Shammai says, you may have one leg, but you need two. The one who's really saying you don't have a leg to stand on is Hillel. Hillel, you want to be converted because you've intellectually arrived at a decision that there is a God and Torah is right? I want you to learn one thing. Greise intellect manner, great intellectual, what's hateful to you, don't do to anybody else. You know what he's telling him? With your intellect, you can destroy a world. You can be the most cultured people in Europe, with the greatest philosophers and mathematicians, and unleash a war of destruction and gas 6 million people to death with your greise intellect. If you don't learn to temper your intellect and learn something very simple as madaloch sani, what's hateful to you, don't you dare ever think of doing to anybody else, because you're eminently capable with your great intellect, you're capable of justifying and rationalizing. Not only that, you're capable of turning absolute evil into a divine imperative. It's a mitzvah to do it. Vermin exterminate. Hillel understands what I call the dark side of genius. It can be destructive. It can chorav machan avelt with reason. And it's been done time and time again. You know what he's really telling? You know what Hillel is saying? He is shattering this convert's reason. Said, go back to the drawing boards. Go back and begin to learn what goodness really is and what faith is. When you come back to me and you're able to stand on two legs, Elokeinu v'lakeyoteinu, you're able to stand on the leg of mitzvah leida, it's a mitzvah to know, and mitzvah lahamin, it's a mitzvah to believe. When you will be capable of saying zekeli van vehu, elokei ovi v'adro memenu, it doesn't begin with the me. I'm not the one who has created all of this. When you learn that Yahadut stands on two great pillars, faith and reason, then we're ready to accept you. But if you think that you're going to be able to build a great new world on the basis of reason alone, you have the potential of being an extremely destructive force. The Rebbein Shom knows that Avraham Avinu is the greatest genius of them all. He discovered what none other were able to discover. By the way, the Rebbein Shom also knows that in potential, Avraham Avinu can become the great man of faith. What he really wants is that Avraham Avinu should know his own greatness. Lech lecha me'artzecha u'mimoladetcha u'mibeit avicha. Leave your father's home, leave everything, leave your birthplace behind. Go to the land asher ar'eka. It doesn't say asher ar'eotcha, that I will show you. Ar'eka means Avraham, I'm going to show you what you really are. You don't even know the extent of your own greatness. You're going to undergo the asara nisyonis. You're going to go through these 10 tests. And you're going to take a look, a completely new, a different Avraham Avinu. An Avraham Avinu that's going to create Morosho Kihilas Yaakov. 4,000 years later, Avraham Avinu's message is still going strong.